All right, fans, nice to have you back with us as we talk some more baseball with you, as I like to say, on this Saturday night. And we bring in one of the good friends that I have, and, of course, one of the great voices of baseball nationally and, of course, in the Bay Area. He is the play-by-play radio voice of the Oakland Athletics, and that is the captain, Ken Korak. Ken, how are you?
I'm doing well, Marty. It's great to be with you.
Thank you. It's great to talk some ball with you.
That's what we do, right? And I'm thrilled you're doing this show. I think it's, you know, talking baseball can provide a nice diversion, a little distraction right now. And we can all use quite a bit of that.
Well, as I say, it's great to hear your voice for everybody in the Bay Area to be able to hear it. And to know that there are things going on that every day that you and I talk about baseball and some of the challenges that we see ahead. I'm going to throw one at a little curveball to start, and that is whether baseball can exist in Arizona in the heat. It's going to be about 105 here next week, and they're talking about maybe ball in Texas in the closed stadium, maybe in Florida in the closed stadium here, and at least Chase Field. Do you think the challenges of doing it are possible to get something like that done?
Well, as you said, you have Chase Field, so I don't know, and we're just speculating, of course, because we don't really know. We're hopeful that there'll be baseball this year, but I would think that they would use the home of the Diamondbacks, wouldn't you, to play some games to get into air conditioning. Now, I spent 2 years in Phoenix doing AAA ball when the Giants for years had their AAA club there in the Coast League. When I started in 1986, they had changed the name from the Giants to the Firebirds. So I did two seasons there. I was a lot younger then, Marty, but it's brutally hot, as you know. I mean, there was one game where we literally started the game. It was so hot they had to ground the planes at Sky Harbor Airport. So it would be a challenge. And the other thing is I think if they want, I mean, television will be such a big component of this if it does happen. And playing at night, now it's 10 o'clock in the East. You might have to play some games in the morning. So I don't think it, I think if that's the direction they were going to go, you could make it happen, but it would not be comfortable, that's for sure.
No, it would be trouble. I brought this up on the show earlier, and I did last week as well. And, you know, maybe they could make it sort of like the Arizona Fall League, where they took four teams and combined, you know, got 40 players and made a special team out of it and played it like sort of the Fall League, just to at least get the game back on the airwaves, so to speak, as opposed to trying to make a schedule and trying to do something that's going to be really challenging.
Yeah, I don't know. There's going to a lot what will have to happen between now and then. But, yeah, I think that's a good idea. I think from – and you and I don't really know any more than what our listeners have heard. But I think as baseball has said, Marty, pretty much everything is on the table right now. And I'm a little intrigued by the idea of having like four or five different sites and maybe rotating around the country and doing it that way. But number one is safety, obviously. And I think, I think you agree that the safety of the country as a whole comes first. Then we can talk about baseball. But obviously, from a symbolic and a real standpoint, we know that baseball can be a big factor in the healing and maybe a return to normalcy in the country.
I hope so. All right, that was my curveball. You hit it well. You stayed back and you hit it well.
I was never a very good curveball hitter. I was never much of a hitter to begin with.
Well, you stayed with it. You stayed on it pretty good. Hey, you had quite an experience this week with your A's cast, and maybe you could explain it, but you and Ray Fossey did something that was amazing this week. Share that with the fans.
Well, the A's have been doing something, Marty, that has I think, really been interesting and worthwhile, and that is replaying games from the 72, 73, and 74 World Series in conjunction with NBC Sports California. In fact, Game 3 of the 74 World Series will be on the air at 8 o'clock tonight, and a pregame show on A's Cast at 7:30. This past Thursday, Ray and I did the whole game. Now, I'd never done anything like that before. And I'm at my house, he's at his place, and we're talking into our computers, and they fed us the game, the original NBC telecast of Game 1 of the 74 World Series, which was being aired on NBC California, we actually did the game as a side-by-side broadcast. So we went on the air with the pregame show at 7:30. I looked at my watch, and when the game was over, we signed off. It was 11:30 at night. So we did a Marty Lurie kind of a marathon deal. We were on the air for 4 hours, four straight hours.
but what a thrill, though, to be able to do. You and Ray really did the play-by-play of the World Series game, and of course, with your perspective on it. And Ray played in the game. So how about that?
Yeah, Ray is, as I tweeted, Ray is going to be broadcasting a game that he played in. So, and that we, you know, we really relied a lot on Ray for the analysis. And we laid out a little bit and let the voices of the telecast and NBC do a couple of batters to play-by-play. They had Kurt Gowdy, of course, and Vin Scully and Monty Moore and Tony Kubek on the telecast. But so many of those World Series games back there were low-scoring, and especially with the A's, with the great pitching and Raleigh Fingers coming out of the bullpen. And the A's actually laid down five sacrifice bunts in the game. There was a squeeze bunt by Campanaris with two strikes. And so Ray could really take us inside all the strategy and all the things that were going on. And that was really worthwhile.
Well, is that archived anywhere that we could hear it? Or is it just something
it's,
you had to be on?
Athletics.com/podcast is where a lot of the A's cast programming is archived right now, Marty. And thanks so much for asking.
No, it's great. I would love to hear it. You know, Ray is one of my favorites. And just to hear you guys talk about a classic game, I think would be wonderful. So I'm glad you got to do it. Thinking of, stuff that we talk about, you and I, and, we really haven't gone through some of the A's Giants rivalry games, over the years. And, interleague play's been going on since 97. So I looked up a few Giant games that turned out well, and I think you looked up a few A's games that turned out well. And I'll let you start. Give me a couple.
Well, the other thing I was thinking about, too, with the A's and the Giants and the proximity, remember in the offseason the A's acquired the pitcher Birch Smith from the Giants? I think it was a cash deal. So all these games the A's have played, and they played in a World Series, they hadn't made a trade with each other since 1990. So just to throw that in there. But, we always think about Bill King, who was not a real fan of interleague play, but and I've written about this a little bit, that one of the most memorable moments in the rivalry in the regular season between the A's and the Giants was when Olmedo signs in a walk-off home run off Rob Nen, and John Jaha was at second base. The A's were trailing early in the game 4-0. Then they were trailing 9-4. And at this point in the game, they were down by two runs, I believe. Jaha was at second base, and he was the tying run. As they were down by one run, I think, and Jaha was the tying run at second base. And so, as Bill normally does, he set it up beautifully when he said, because Jaha was slow-footed, speaking euphemistically, I mean, he couldn't run at all at that point in his career. And so, as the lead-up to the call, Bill says, the only way they can score Jaha is to take him deep. He might have. Holy Toledo! So Olmedo signs, it's the next pitch out of the ballpark for a walk-off home run off Rob Nen. So that was one of those classic, memorable Bill King calls.
Oh, it's great. God, I love just hearing Bill's voice and having you describe it sort of gave me chills just to hear it. One, I remember this one over in Oakland that the Giants lost the first couple of games of the weekend, I think, and came back on Sunday and won 18-2. Sean Estes, I remember that game, and Ramon Martinez, the little-known shortstop, was 3-for-4, and Jeff Kent, 4-for-6 with 5 RBIs. It's so funny because in the games, usually the A's won at home and the Giants won at home. Very rarely did you have a blowout in the other team's ballpark.
The games were really close. There were a couple wins the A's had back in the early days of interleague play that Matt Serres was actually instrumental in. Hit a grand slam that won a ball game at Candlestick in 98. A's came back and won that one 7-6. He had a home run in the ninth inning in the top of the ninth. John Johnstone, the left field at Candlestick, but one that also stands out to me, Marty, because it was kind of symbolic of what the A's did that year at a point in the 2012 season. And there were, as you know, there was little in the way of expectations leading up to the 12 campaign with the A's. It was Bob Melvin's first full season managing the A's, and the team kind of came together as the season went along. But Derek Norris hit a walk-off home run off Santiago Casilla. Mm. And the A's were trailing 2-1 in the ninth inning. It was a three-run shot. It was A.J. Griffin's first major league start, June 24th of 12. And that was one of the games that kind of catapulted the A's forward. And as Vince Cofonio later coined the Coliseum, the walk-off capital of baseball.
Very good. Hey, it made me think as we're talking home run, Jarrett Parker. Didn't he hit three against the A's?
Jarrett Parker owned the A's, and he hit one, I think, up into the second deck up there.
Remember, in right field?
In left field. Yeah, I think in, like, above the suites, above the suites up into Mount Davis. And you reminded me of a game the Giants won, I think, but Sal Fasano hit a home run for the A's, I think, that literally might have broken a window in the suites up in Mount Davis.
Yeah, that was a game Mark Gardner pitched. Back in 2000, I think, and Gardy pitched. Then there's one that was really incredible. Adam Pyatt was in the game, and people like that, Eric Burns, Frankie Menachino. And this was in 2003 at Pac Bell Park. The A's get 5 in the first, 1 in the fourth. They're up 6-0. The Giants come back with 6 in the fourth, and the two pitchers, Barry Zito and Kirk Reeder. How would you expect something like that?
Right, and then remember a couple of years ago, and it was their swan song, it was kind of a curtain call when Zito was making his comeback, and the A's called him up, and he pitched at the end of the year against Tim Hudson.
Oh, right.
Remember that? Right.
Yes.
Zito for the A's and Hudson for the Giants. They were both at the end of the line. In fact, Zito had been out of baseball. There are a lot of you're bringing back. Didn't Eric Burns hit for the cycle?
Yep. Yes, he did.
San Francisco against the Giants one time. I remember Eric Karros had a big game for the A's in his only season with the Athletics over there. So
I remember
one of the things that I – yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, Art Howe bringing in Mike Venafro. And right. And I said to myself, you don't want to bring in Mike Venafro. I think it was to face Bonds or something like that. I said, this is not going to end well for Mike Venafro.
That's right.
And
That's right.
I remember talking to Art afterwards. He said, well, what do you want me to do? He was my lefty, you know.
And they had three lefties in the bullpen, I think, at one time, including Venafro and Mike Magnatti. Houston Street had a strikeout, an electric night at the Coliseum, May 19th of 06, when Street struck out Bond for the last out of a 1-0 win for the A's when Danny Heron went the first eight innings.
Mm. Yeah, very good. Now, these are, you know, we don't spend enough time looking back at the games, and I know they come during the season, and who knows who's in contention and who's not, and, you know, all that kind of stuff. But when you look at the games and the competitiveness and the way some of these turned out, you know, we talk about Giant Dodger games or, you know, A's games with the Angels or what have you, the Yankees or the Red Sox. Some of the Giant A's games really are classic games.
And they're memorable. Remember when Omar Vizquel stole home on a Friday night in San Francisco off Greg Smith, a left-hander who was for some reason working out of the stretch. It wasn't one of those first and third where the catcher throws to second on a double steal. It was a straight steal of home, which you rarely see now.
Didn't he have a great move, Greg Smith?
He had a great move to first base, but there are very few pickoff moves to third when you're a left-handed pitcher and you're working out of the stretch.
That's right.
And Vizquel took advantage of that, right?
Very funny. Boy, that's good. This is good stuff. Very good stuff to go back and take a look at this stuff. Yeah, well, you know, who knows where it's all going to go. But I know being able to do this and look back at some of these names. How about Frankie Menachino and Adam Pyatt? I threw those out at you.
Yeah, no, and those guys were part of the teams that were developing for the A's in the early 2000s, right, Marty? So,
DeRozzo, how about him?
Well, Rubio DeRozzo was like the holy grail for the A's, and when he broke in with the A's, he was on fire, right? He could have run for mayor of Oakland. Billy Bean chased DeRozzo around baseball for about 8 or 10 years trying to acquire him because he was like the embodiment of the whole Moneyball deal, right? On base percentage and power. I mean, he either walked or struck out. So there were a couple guys like that. Jack Cust would come to mind, who was cut from the same cloth, right?
Well, amazing. And, you know, Giants had Marquise Grissom and Bonds. I'm just looking at the box score of that game that they came back and won. Feliz Galarraga.
Yeah, Bonds hit his 714th home run on a Saturday afternoon at the Coliseum off the late Brad Halsey in the second inning.
Did you call that one?
I did, yeah. Yeah.
Oh, very good.
I was on the air with Fossey.
Oh, good. Yeah. Well, a lot of fun. A lot of fun to talk to you. It makes me laugh to think back to these games, and I think I'm glad we're doing it because there's some classics in here that seem to get overlooked because we don't get into that rivalry enough. Maybe you do sort of like the two franchises, but the games are pretty darn good.
Yeah, and I've always felt this way, that baseball in the Bay Area is better when both teams are good in the same season.
Yeah.
And I really sincerely believe that, because when the A's are good and the Giants are good, people are talking about baseball. There's a buzz on both sides of the Bay. And so hopefully we can get back to that at some point down the road.
I hope so. Well, thanks for taking the time for coming on, and I'm going to try to find that the podcast of the game that you and Ray did.
All right, thanks, Marty.
That'd be a lot of fun. All right, take care, be well, and we'll chat soon. Thanks, Ken.
Well, you too. Thanks for having me on.
All right, that is the captain, Ken Korak. More coming up. KNBR 680-1045, the Sports Leader.